Tonight, coronavirus cases shattering records across America. More than 125,000 now dead in the U.S. Florida reporting yet another record high. More than 9,600 cases in 24 hours. Long lines and up to a 9-hour wait for testing at one location. Miami-Dade closing beaches over the 4th of July weekend. Texas flooded with more than 5,700 new cases in one day. Doctors and nurses overwhelmed on the front lines in Arizona. 85 infections linked to just one restaurant in Michigan. Trouble in Texas, ICU beds nearing capacity. Governor Greg Abbott, who was reluctant to close down his state, now says he regrets allowing bars to reopen so quickly. Frustrated business owners forced to shut down a second time. Also breaking tonight, one day after being pressed about campaign rallies, the Trump campaign now canceling events in Arizona and Florida involving Vice President Mike Pence, quote, out of an abundance of caution. And tonight, ABC News confirming the Trump campaign ordered thousands of stickers be removed from seats, enforcing social distancing. The statue showdown, hours after President Trump signed an executive order protecting federal monuments, six protesters arrested, allegedly clashing with police over a statue of Confederate General Robert E. Lee. Authorities saying officers were hit by paintballs and fireworks. New demands for justice in the deadly police encounter involving Elijah McClain. Protesters demanding three officers be charged for his death. Police confronting him as he walked home last summer, using a chokehold to restrain him. He later died at the hospital. We're also following severe storms moving through the Northeast at this hour. Thunderstorms, flash flooding, damaging winds, and possible tornadoes. Our Rob Marciano timing it out. And the NBA, ready to resume the season. 22 teams playing in Orlando. 16 players testing positive for COVID-19 just this week. Tip-off at the end of July.
From ABC News, this is ABC World News Tonight.
And good evening. Thanks for joining us on this Saturday. I'm Tom Yamas. And as we come on the air tonight, the coronavirus hitting all-time highs in parts of the U.S. More than 2.5 million cases, now more than 125,000 lives lost. Florida's numbers soaring out of control, hitting a new record high of more than 9,600 cases in 24 hours. Miami-Dade County set to close beaches over the 4th of July weekend. A surge in cases forcing Texas to roll back its reopening plans. More than 5,700 new cases in one day alone. The fifth day of cases topping 5,000. One of the largest hospitals in Arizona activating surge plans to handle COVID cases. And sad news tonight about 101-year-old Jean O'Brien, the mother of nine making headlines for beating the coronavirus. Her family says she passed away, weakened by her battle and the isolation of quarantine. Washington State tonight hitting pause on counties about to begin phase four of reopening. 23 states now seeing an increase in hospitalizations. ABC's Trevor Ault leads us off tonight.
Tonight, coronavirus cases skyrocketing to new records. Florida logging more than 18,000 new cases in the past 48 hours. More than 9,600 infections today alone, a new high. Thousands now showing up to get tested, some people lining up just after midnight, waiting nearly 9 hours. In Miami-Dade County, beaches closing for the upcoming 4th of July weekend as Florida bars are now banned from serving alcohol.
All of a sudden, we can't even have a cocktail outside. I'm not even near anybody. This is really getting out of hand.
Compliance officers now on hand to enforce restrictions.
You guys can't pass out those menus. You can have patrons order off of this menu.
In New York, a travel advisory from high-risk states, including Florida. And health officials say a person who just traveled from there is infected and may have exposed several people to the virus at a drive-in graduation ceremony in Westchester. Four others now testing positive. While in Michigan,
free country, we do what we want to do.
Thousands gathering for one of the country's largest boat parties. Law enforcement saying they won't enforce social distancing. Elsewhere in the state, a new outbreak linked to a single restaurant in East Lansing, not far from Michigan State University. More than 85 people infected, all of them between the ages of 16 and 28, and 80 diagnosed after going to the restaurant.
I believe primarily the reason this has happened is lack of social distancing and lack of mask wearing.
12 states now putting their reopening plans on pause or reversing them. In California, the governor calling for Imperial County to reinstitute stay-at-home orders. The only morgue for COVID victims there now at full capacity. Officials requesting a refrigerated truck to store the bodies.
This disease does not take a summer vacation.
ICUs nearing capacity in Arizona. Hospitals there activating surge plans. The virus hitting the state's Hispanic population hard.
A recent study showing the age-adjusted death rate for Hispanic Americans is 2.5 times that of whites. Experts say one reason, only 16% can work from home.
One family losing 42-year-old Basilio Lopez, a father of five.
It's just such a terrible feeling. Just knowing that he was there dying by himself.
Something doctors nationwide are struggling with.
I think that we all know that having people around is one of the things that help us heal. And for people to not be able to have that is heart-wrenching.
That pain felt by both the families and the doctors and nurses on the front lines. Trevor Ault joins us now from Atlanta, one of the many states where the rate of positive tests and hospitalizations are on the rise there in Georgia. But Trevor, I do want to go back to Florida and that surge in new cases. Senator Marco Rubio now says the peak could be weeks away.
Oh, that's right, Tom. Senator Rubio says health officials in Florida tell him they expect this surge to peak between July 15th or even July 23rd. Right now, Rubio says this surge is being driven by young people, and the median age of people testing positive in Florida is just 34 years old. Tom?
Trevor Ault leading us off with all the breaking news throughout the country tonight. Trevor, thank you. And alarming headlines in Texas, where some health experts warn the state is facing a possible humanitarian catastrophe. COVID-19 cases surging by the thousands across the state. Governor Greg Abbott, reluctant about ordering a shutdown, now saying he has at least one regret. Here's ABC's Zareen Shaw.
Tonight, with Texas topping 5,000 cases for a record-breaking fifth day in a row, the governor with a stunning admission of regret.
If I could have done anything differently, it would have been to delay the opening of bars.
Governor Abbott now acknowledging some Texas businesses may have increased the spread.
Bars is a type of setting that's not made for a pandemic. It bars invites people to gather together to drink and to have conversations.
On Friday, those bars ordered to shut down for a second time after police shared video of scenes like these last weekend. Restaurants capping capacity at 50%.
Ups and downs, you know, it becomes a kind of an emotional roller coaster at some point. We go to 50% and 75%, back down to 50, but you just kind of roll with the punches.
Houston's mayor frustrated, warning of a long road ahead.
But frankly, now it's just trying to figure out how to, I guess you say, put the genie back in the bottle.
Even though bars and restaurants are facing restrictions, some even closing, much of Texas is open for business. In Lakeway near Austin, Texas, 300 teenagers potentially exposed to COVID-19 during a large party.
Unfortunately, they went to that party, and some of them didn't realize they were positive until after the party.
Worries growing as hospitalizations surpass 5,500, the 16th straight day of record highs. Masks are not mandated statewide, but they are required in Houston, where the COVID alert remains at its highest level.
Tom, all eyes on the governor's walk back. He said already fewer people are dining out, but if cases don't go down, he's warning there could be more rollbacks. Tom?
All right, Zareen, thank you. A major shift tonight by the Trump campaign, canceling events for Vice President Pence in Arizona and Florida out of an abundance of caution. And ABC News tonight also confirming the campaign had stickers urging social distancing removed from President Trump's event in Tulsa. And now campaign staffers at that rally are in quarantine. ABC's Rachel Scott is in Washington tonight.
With cases on the rise in many states, tonight the Trump campaign postponing Vice President Mike Pence's upcoming events in Arizona and Florida out of an abundance of caution. The news coming one day after he defended large campaign gatherings at the first White House coronavirus task force briefing since April 27th. In that time, nearly 70,000 Americans have died from the virus.
Freedom of speech and the right to peaceably assemble is enshrined in the Constitution of the United States. And even in a health crisis, the American people don't forfeit our constitutional rights.
And tonight, Trump campaign officials asked about video obtained by the Washington Post, appearing to show workers removing stickers on seats ahead of the president's rally in Tulsa last weekend.
ABC News confirms the Post report the campaign directed thousands of stickers to encourage social distancing taken down hours before the president arrived.
The campaign insisting the rally was in full compliance with local requirements. And while 6,000 or so attendees got their temperatures checked before entry, wearing a mask was not enforced. And health officials in Tulsa urged the campaign to postpone. After that rally, dozens of campaign staffers going into quarantine, 8 testing positive for COVID-19. The campaign requiring all staffers on the ground in Tulsa to obtain a negative test this weekend before returning to work on Monday. Just days ago, the president still downplaying the virus at this crowded church in Phoenix.
We did so well before the plague, and we're doing so well after the plague. It's going away.
And tonight, word of another case inside the White House complex. A top economist confirming to ABC News he tested positive earlier this month. He was with the president at this event on June 5th.
All right, Rachel Scott joins us now live. And Rachel, the vice president postponing those campaign events in Arizona and Florida, as you mentioned, but he still plans to head to those states?
Yeah, that's exactly right, Tom. A White House official telling me the vice president will still travel to Texas, Arizona, and Florida to meet with the state's governors and their health care teams. And tomorrow, Pence is still expected to address a big crowd at a church in Dallas. The church telling me tonight they are expecting 2,000 people inside. Social distancing and wearing a mask is strongly encouraged but not required. And Tom, just one more note on those stickers out of the Tulsa rally. The campaign telling the Washington Post they are not aware of any campaign staffers asking for those stickers to be taken down. Tom?
All right, Rachel Scott, with all those new developments tonight. Rachel, thank you. We move on now to the showdowns across America. Protesters toppling statues and monuments of Confederate leaders and slave owners. 6 people arrested after clashing with police in front of the statue of Confederate General Robert E. Lee in Richmond, Virginia. Here's ABC's Andrew Dimber.
Tonight, tensions mounting over monuments. In Richmond, Virginia, demonstrations taking a dangerous turn just before midnight Friday, attempting to topple this statue of Confederate General Robert E. Lee. Police releasing this body camera footage saying protesters fired paintballs and threw projectiles at officers. President Trump overnight signing an executive order instructing the Justice Department to enforce existing law, saying anyone who tries to remove or deface a monument will be arrested, tweeting, "These people will be brought to justice." The order singles out left-wing extremists, but recent intelligence bulletins by the FBI and Department of Homeland Security also warn against violence from far-right, white supremacist, and anarchist groups. As statues tumble, President Trump making it clear removing memorials of presidents here in the nation's capital is, quote, not going to happen.
They're looking at George Washington. They're looking at Abraham Lincoln, Thomas Jefferson. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. Not as long as I'm here.
Near Capitol Hill, there is a push to remove this statue depicting President Lincoln standing over a freed slave. Some want it gone, calling it demeaning. Others point out that freed black Americans paid for it.
And there is a delegation that represents Washington, D.C. in Congress, and they are actively trying to remove some of these statues. Tom? All right, Andrew, thank you. News tonight about a deadly police encounter in Colorado. Protesters demanding 3 officers be charged for the death of Elijah McClain. Body camera images showing the confrontation with police while he was walking home. Here's ABC's Janae Norman.
Tonight, protests in Aurora, Colorado, nearly a year after a young black man died after a controversial encounter with police and crying out those 3 haunting words. The governor ordering Colorado's attorney general to reinvestigate what happened to Elijah McClain, a 23-year-old massage therapist who was on his way home from buying iced tea at a corner store when police got a call about a suspicious person. And once police stop him...
Hey, stop right there. Stop. I have a right to stop you because you're being suspicious.
Video from officers' body camera showing the encounter escalating. Officers grabbing McClain.
I started to question and I was stopping my music to listen.
Officers apply a carotid hold, putting pressure on the neck artery leading to the brain, claiming McClain reached for an officer's gun. The 23-year-old not accused of any crimes.
It's awful. I'm so sorry. I have no gun.
McClain telling officers he can't breathe before paramedics inject him with the sedative ketamine. Authorities saying he suffered cardiac arrest. McClain died days later at the hospital after being taken off life support. The local district attorney deciding officers committed no crime.
And Tom, just this week, the Aurora Police Department announcing all 3 officers involved have been reassigned for, quote, their safety. Tom?
Janae Norman for us tonight. Janae, thank you. Overseas now, Russia and the Taliban denying reports of bounties being placed on U.S. troops in Afghanistan.
The New York Times reports U.S. intelligence learned a Russian military unit secretly offered rewards to Taliban fighters for killing Americans. The report claims the Trump administration has known for months, the White House releasing a statement denying the president and vice president were briefed by U.S. intel officials. And back here at home, a federal judge ordering the release of migrant children held at U.S. family detention centers. The judge says the government must release children with their parents from three ICE facilities by mid-July if they've been held more than 20 days. The judge citing concerns over the pandemic and noting 124 children are in those facilities. ICE says it's reviewing the order. Next tonight, the NBA says it is ready for tip-off, the league pushing ahead with plans to resume the season despite 16 players testing positive for COVID-19 just this week. Here's ABC's Zachary Quiche.
Tonight, the NBA is rolling out their plan to play and finish the season. One of the game's biggest rising stars, Zion Williamson, will headline the first matchup in an 88-game season. LeBron James and the Lakers will be playing on day one as well. The plan will require that players isolate in a controlled area or a bubble at the ESPN Wide World of Sports facility in Orlando, Florida, a state where positive tests for the virus are breaking records on a daily basis. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver saying a significant spread could derail the season. 16 unnamed players have already tested positive.
My ultimate conclusion is that we can't outrun the virus and that this is what we're going to be living with for the foreseeable future.
Tonight, the NBA isn't the only sport scrambling to salvage a shortened season. Major League Baseball is set to restart spring training later this week, but it's not without concern after several members of the Texas Rangers tested positive. A number of anonymous employees telling ESPN, "We are terrified for our safety. We all knew it would come to this. It was only a matter of time." The Texas Rangers organization say that all the necessary measures are being taken to prevent a further infection. They also say the health and safety of all their employees is a top priority. Tom.
Okay, Zachary, thank you. And there is much more ahead on World News Tonight this Saturday. Next tonight, to the severe storms moving into the Northeast, damaging winds and tornadoes are possible. I want to get right to ABC senior meteorologist Rob Marciano tonight. Rob, good evening.
Good evening, Tom. We've already had pretty potent storms roll across the east with 60-mile-per-hour winds in Pennsylvania. Here's the radar, shows you the pockets, not just there, but across parts of Georgia, the southeast, Florida, and then back through the west. Severe thunderstorms tonight will roll off the coast later on. And then another threat tomorrow, getting in through the Carolinas and back through Tennessee and Kentucky, also stretching back through the northern plains. The worst of these will fire tomorrow afternoon. Tom?
Rob, thank you. Time now for our index, and Princeton will remove former President Woodrow Wilson's name from its public policy school. The university reversing a decision from 2016, citing Wilson's history of racist views and policies. One of the residential colleges will also be renamed. Wilson served as the university's president until 1910. And the desert locust swarming near India's capital city. Residents in New Delhi told to keep their windows shut, and pilots forced to take extra precautions during takeoff and landing at the city's international airport. It's the first locust attack near New Delhi as India faces its worst outbreak in decades. Finally tonight, America Strong, the Vietnam veteran and his first responder son, not letting anything keep them apart. Lamar Legrand counts himself as one of the lucky ones. The 74-year-old retired nurse and Navy veteran from a tight-knit Louisiana family was headed out to the store one afternoon when suddenly his car veered off the road. His son, Will, is a paramedic.
And hit a big pine tree head-on.
Lamar, trapped in that car for nearly an hour, finally airlifted out. But it would take another several hours for his family to know if he had made it out alive.
It was gut-wrenching. It was one of the hardest things that we'd been through.
Lamar suffered a broken femur and ankle. Once he stabilized, he was ready to leave the hospital and head to rehab by ambulance. Knowing Will hadn't seen his father because of COVID restrictions, his EMT supervisor had an idea.
Let me make some calls to see if you can either ride on the ambulance or do the transfer yourself.
And here's that moment.
Oh, here goes somebody.
Seeing his son for the first time since the accident.
Who are you?
Lamar, overcome with emotion.
Oh. And that's when he realized it was me and.
Surprise.
I guess that's when the emotions started.
My baby boy.
His tears were, I was almost gone and not able to say goodbye to anybody. This is a special moment.
I love you.
Special moment indeed. Good night.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.